Hello, I'm Wayne, and this is my Iron Maiden podcast, sponsored by Muller Rice, dual-layered fruity ricey pot thing, in a range of flavours. Some might think it's similar to Out of the Silent Planet by Iron Maiden, or maybe that's just Trevor. On these shows, I look at the songs of Iron Maiden, and how they've impacted on me growing up as a boy in 1980s and 1990s Birmingham. And I'm currently doing a series on Brave New World, the album from 2000. So I'm also looking at how my life was then, in my early 20s, technically a man. This week, I'm looking at The Thin Line Between Love and Hate, which is track 10 on the Brave New World album. Last week, I looked at Out of the Silent Planet, the song before, and had some feedback on the show. I criticised Trevor for listing what appeared to be the ladies from a Kerrang magazine, one of those sort of end-of-year awards issues, which had, like, you know, best vocalist, best bass player. And it was listing ladies that should be in a sort of best heavy metal band for International Women's Day. And I said, was he reading the names from the top 10 hottest females from 1986? And I had someone comment that that couldn't have been 1986, it must have been 1987. All right, well, it's off the top of my head, wasn't it? But they go on to say, this error is nearly as bad as when you got the Paul Daniels Magic Show Christmas specials mixed up back in the early days of the podcast. Well, what, have people got lists of all the mistakes I've made over these years? I've been doing it 4 years. I'm going to make mistakes. I'll hopefully learn from them. Like The Mercenary wasn't played live. I knew that really, but I just forgot. Sometimes I just talk without thinking, and I realise that isn't a good thing to do for a podcaster. Yeah, podcasting for dummies, back to basics, do your research. But it was a conversation. I wasn't going to stop Trevor and say, just hang on, let me make sure I've got the year right in that Kerrang special so that I don't get negative feedback next week. I'm not going to do that. I want it to sound natural and off the cuff. Now, another potential error I made last week was talking about the artwork for the single. I mentioned specifically a blue-hued piece of art with Eddie looking over like a world, and that was done by Mark Wilkinson. Now, Phil Wolchester got in touch to say that that's the tour art, and on his copy of the single, he had a picture of Eddie doing like a press conference. And I did notice this on Wikipedia, but it said that this was the limited edition art, or the art on the picture disc. So I didn't mention that specifically. However, Phil Wolchester said that I should do a press release in this style to say sorry for getting it wrong. A bit like I did a video for The Mercenary, which I'm fed up of mentioning already this episode. And even drew a version of what this might look like, me giving a press conference, which was quite nice in the style of Iron Maiden. Except it made me look like Velma out of Scooby-Doo. So it's still on Facebook. Go and have a look at it, and I'm not very flattered, because, if anything, I feel like I'm more like Fred than Velma, even though I wear glasses and have sort of brownie reddish hair. I don't look like Velma. I haven't got an orange jumper. Anyway, yeah, this week it's The Thin Line Between Love and Hate. And yeah, okay, it starts with the, but it's actually quite a long song title for Iron Maiden. If you think about it, it's 7 words. And last week, I mentioned about the word equilibrium in the lyric, and yeah, was that the longest in terms of syllables? Nobody got in touch about this, no. I get people drawing pictures of Velma, talking about Paul Daniels' magic show mistakes, you know, maybe even comments about bananas, which I'm not reading out, yet no one plays the game of, is there a word longer than this, or with more syllables than this? No one's interested in this, are they? But anyway, this song title, 7 words... And you think back, oh, has there been one with 8 words or more? You know, I always think The Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner is a long title. And, yeah, that's got 7 words as well. So that doesn't beat it. But, yeah, maybe there is one. But maybe I'll play this game by myself. Now, the title suggests that the emotions of love and hate are closely linked, that thin line between them. Now, that's unusual, because in this day and age, we see things as quite extreme, don't we? Love and hate. Quite a big gap between them, maybe. People either love something or hate something. How you feel about things, like Marmite or Kentucky Fried Chicken or Die With Your Boots On. You might also think about how you felt at school, in the playground, where you might say you hate someone, just so they don't find out that you love them. You sort of do the opposite, and you know, you might be scared people will laugh when you say that you love them or have feelings for them. And this might be something you regret, maybe not being open about it as a boy. You know, you might think about this a lot for the rest of your life. Now, you might also have heard the term love-hate relationship, which a lot of people have experienced. This might be where feelings for each other are complicated or extreme, you know, like Den and Angie in EastEnders, Han Solo and Princess Leia, or me and Trevor. Love-hate relationships. And yeah, I mentioned Dire Boots on, but people have different opinions about other songs. You know, some people love a song, while some people hate it. Quest for Fire, Gangland, Weekend Warrior. There's always someone who'll like the song as well as hate it. Except maybe Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner or Hallowed Be Thy Name. But even then, there'll be someone trying to be controversial. Oh, yeah, it's overplayed or sick of hearing it. No, they're great songs. Go away. This song's got a similar intro to Fear of the Dark. But here, it doesn't slow down to this woozy guitar bit. Instead, it speeds up into this nice riff. Then Bruce comes in, and it's a double-tracked vocal, I think. Double vocal, and that's nice. Now, Bruce doesn't need this, really. You know, his voice is good enough on its own. But it's a nice, unusual take, and I think this works. When a person turns to wrong, if they don't want to be belong. He says, when a person turns to wrong, is it a want to be belong? I think that literally translates to, when a person turns bad, is it through choice or are they trying to fit in? This is like a brief summary, the lyric. It's as if the band wrote some sort of massive theory or discourse or something. And, yeah, they've asked ChatGPT to summarise it in 13 words. Because it sounds like some words are missing. Imagine a therapist asking a teenage boy questions like this. You know, the boy might have difficulties at school, confidence problems, acne, ginger hair. And the therapist wouldn't say, is your behaviour a want-to-be belong? Now, this example isn't about me. You might be thinking it is. I mean, I didn't want to belong with the boys on the streets, smoking and throwing chips at cars. But yeah, it's not really a question. It is a question because it's in the lyrics, but no one would say this. Anyway, here's Adrian Smith.
Hi, this is Adrian Smith. Well, I have been taking a bit of time out on this, but now I hear there may not be time to get all my chapters out on this podcast. It's disappointing. I was hoping to drag it out a bit over a series or three, but now I'm concerned that listeners may not have the chance to gasp and chuckle at the exploits of the characters in my new children's book. And the problem I've got as well is these chapters aren't really in a good state either. These next chapters, they're even more rough draft than the previous ones. I mean, you know, me reading this out, it would be like me going up to speak to Steve about a new song idea and humming it to him, rather than playing it skillfully on the guitar. It just wouldn't work. It's not the same, is it? But, well, I had to rush a bit, but here's another chapter. Let's call it Chapter 7. Steve, Nico, Dave, Yannick and Kevin Shirley were all gathered round the back of the library. They were rummaging in the bins, looking for evidence. They were just full of general things, as well as a selection of crisp packets that Mr. Wilford, the librarian, must have eaten. The boys sat down. Dave carried on smiling, even though deep down he was very disappointed they hadn't found anything, and he wanted to cry. "What were you hoping to find, Steve?" asked Nico, banging his drum. "I'm not sure," said Steve. Kevin Shirley carried on searching through the rubbish, delighting in all the strange sounds he could make on the bins, banging on the sides with his fingers. "Can you stop that, please?" said Steve, and Kevin Shirley did as he was told. "Maybe we can get what we want if we try a bit harder," said Yannick. "You know, like those messages on the bandstand say." "Actually, it's you can do what you want to if you try a little bit harder," said Steve, scowling. "You need to be careful getting those messages wrong." They got up to leave, but then Dave noticed a sleeping bag behind one of the bins. "Somebody seems to be sleeping here," he said.
"Oi! Hey!"
Adrian and Bruce followed the gobstopper trail all the way to a clearing in the forest. Standing in the middle was a house made of gingerbread and sweets. "Feels like I've been here before," said Adrian, but this time he made sure he didn't eat the gobstoppers along the way. "Watcher," said a familiar voice. It was Paul Diano, leaning out of an upstairs window. "Why do you always have a gingerbread cottage?" asked Adrian. "I don't know what you mean," replied Paul. "I've never had one before." Adrian felt confused. Bruce decided to speak. "We haven't seen you for ages, since you moved away from the village in the first book." "Yes," sneered Paul, who didn't like Bruce much. "They moved us away," he said. "Sent us to some complex. Said we were savages. I've escaped, though, and I found this place to stay in." "I don't understand," said Adrian. "No, they are slowly changing things," said Paul Diano. "They're putting things in place to tame a land." "Have they banned books yet? I smuggled loads of books out, hoping I could sneak some back in and sell them to people here in this brave new world." "We don't need books," said Bruce mechanically.
"Oi! Hey!"
Officer Riggs was planning a special evening for old Mrs. Stratton. He was cooking a special sausage supper and had brought her a pair of mittens after she'd complained about the cold. He laid out the dishes, plates and cutlery on the table and put the mittens next to them as a surprise for when she arrived. He frowned as he realised the tablecloth hadn't been ironed. There was an annoying crease right in the middle. He called out to Dennis. "Look, boy," said Officer Riggs, "this tablecloth hasn't been ironed properly. What's the matter with you?" "It looks fine," said Dennis. "Can't you see?" asked the village Bobby. "Look here. There's a thin line between glove and plate." Dennis moved the mittens and crockery and took the tablecloth to the ironing room with a scowl.
Now that dual vocal thing, that carries on into what I think might be the chorus. Well, I say I think. I'm pretending I haven't heard the song before, which of course I have. Because he says the title.
There's a thin line between love and hate. Why the divide that you can...
It's quite a pounding section. But then after this, we go straight back into a verse. Now, this verse is a bit different to the previous one, because there's no rhymes. No rhymes at the end of the line. It sounds a bit strange. You compare them. Then we get what is the chorus. We get a high vocal. And it isn't twin anymore. It's just one vocal. Have a listen.
I will hold, my soul will play, so I will live forever.
It's nice, isn't it? Because it's taken something away, that dual extra vocal. And that gives it more impact. That's strange. You've removed something to make it stand out more. Yeah, it's like when something's confiscated from you. You learn your lesson. It's gone away. It's got more impact. Yeah, it's quite a nice chorus. And after this, we get a little guitar flourish. I had a message from Dennis Stratton this week.
It's time to put on your talcum powder and red leather trousers. It's time to go beyond the stratosphere. Bringing your eyes, freight bentos pies in a world full of magic. So don't you stray. When you reach the stratosphere, it's time to go beyond the stratosphere. It's time to go beyond.
on the stratosphere. La 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 la.
Hello, Wayne. Dennis Stratton here. I thought I heard last week from poor Diano there might not be any more episodes in future. You never said anything. Who am I going to speak to now? It was about nearly 4 years ago I got in touch. Thought, finally, a podcast that gets into the details and mentions farm foods. And so much has happened. I found this quite helpful, especially during the pandemic. But I never know how you feel about it, Wayne. You never really say anything. Oh well, time goes on, I suppose. Things change. Some things for the better. And now I'm over 70, I'm entitled to free earwax removal at the local medical centre. Some people think the members of Iron Maiden are better off than me, but most of them have to pay for this service, I assume. I see Adrian turned 67 recently. He's got to wait 3 more years for the benefits. And Bruce, well, he may have a successful solo album, but if he gets a build-up of wax and a blockage in his ear canal, he may have to pay up to £100. Yeah, well, I could recommend it. A lady called Brenda, yeah, she was in charge of the sucking. A fine, relaxing technique. And when I listened to the Iron Maiden debut album on my headphones afterwards, oh, it was like listening to a new mix. Well, maybe this is the end. I'm sorry to say this, but, well, it's been nice speaking to you. And yeah, maybe we'll cross paths again. I'll go and sit down for a bit. Take care, Dennis.
Then we get verse 3, which carries on the theme a bit. But it says, just a thin line drawn between being a genius or insane. And that reads like much of the feedback I've had about Trevor over the years. Now, I haven't said much about that sort of bridge or pre-chorus bit that has the title in I mentioned earlier, but that actual section, which says there's a thin line between love and hate. What annoys me about it is the fact that it's delivered in this sort of staccato fashion, where all the syllables are spaced out equally. I think it's strange, it loses its meaning almost, because you just focus on that. And it's a bit like when you analyse something too much, it reduces things to something lesser than it really is. And yeah, those words lose impact by the way they're delivered. It's a bit like saying jam over and over again. You sort of forget what it means eventually, or what it is. Jam. Jam, 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 jam. I don't know if that works when you're listening to it on a podcast. Maybe you have to say it yourself. But eventually, you forget what you're doing. You're just carrying on saying a word of sounds. And you forget about strawberries or the seedy bits. And the feeling of warmth on a piece of toast. Now, if content like that gets you going, then I might remind you that the Independent Podcast Awards 2024 opens in May or June. So don't forget this, because, you know, you don't get that on other podcasts, do you? Someone saying jam over and over again. And funnily enough, Podcast Awards did come up in some comments this week. I had Fergal say that Pterodactyl Mark could be in contention if there was an award for supporting podcaster or co-host. Well, That's nice. I had other positive comments about Pterodactyl Mark last week. His look for the truth involving ChatGPT and Suzanne Williamson 833, whatever her name is. And yeah, Guy LeBlanc and Melissa also agreed. But yeah, interesting that he went for Pterodactyl Mark and not Trevor, who he's done work with. So yeah, nice to have feedback. Once again, not about me. And yeah, now I've focused on that pre-chorus, the actual chorus itself. I mean, I said about the vocal being on its own, but it's actually a nice melody and it's really well sung. You know, is this Bruce at his peak? I don't know. Some might say, yeah, he was better when he was younger, you know, early days of Iron Maiden, because he could hit those higher notes. But your voice grows, doesn't it? You sort of train it, and you know, you might think, well, he didn't need training, he was already brilliant, but you still got to sort of do exercises and warm ups and practice to sort of push yourself. And I don't think Bruce would have sat still in 1982. So yeah, maybe this point, you know, he's at his peak. I'm sure others will disagree and point out other songs. This is a very good vocal performance. So the line says, I will hope my soul will fly, so I will live forever. So it's that sort of thought, isn't it, about dying? A physical body might die, but the soul, that lives on forever. People remember you in other ways. You know, they can't see you walking down the street with your satchel or whatever, but you know, they might remember something you did or a feeling. Now, this podcast might die or end, but it will live on in your mind. You know, the soul of the podcast will live on. And probably every time you hear Invaders and get annoyed in the intro because I've ruined it forever. Then we get a nice instrumental passage. And it's quite romantic. You know, you could, it goes on a little bit, but you could have some sort of little commentary here, some sort of spoken word passage.
Hello. I wonder if you do remember at the school disco, that boy, you know, the one standing there, a bag of sweets in his hand, the sherbet from his UFO stuck to his chin. Remember how he looked at you with a mixture of fear and wonder? He said he liked your cardigan. I think you did feel something then, and perhaps you think back now to that moment, even now, wondering if you'll feel it again. And maybe one day our paths will cross, reaching for that same tin of peas on the supermarket shelf. It'd be nice, wouldn't it?
And then the guitar line, it sort of predicts that final vocal, where he does say the title. But what I like is, he doesn't say the title again and again. He doesn't drag it on. We get more solo beats separating it. It's almost like they're taking in turns to say goodbye on the album. They're all having a little go. I mean, the way they put this together, it sounds like, you know, like a live thing, a bit like a jam as such. Jam, 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 jam. Maybe that's how it started. You know, like a jam. I'm not going to say jam again, over and over again. But, yeah, and maybe they just recorded it like that. And it slows down, and then we get a guitar line, and then the final vocal from Bruce. So, yeah, good song. And it's never been played live, which is interesting. Written by Dave Morey and Steve Harris. And when I saw this, I wondered without thinking too much, is this the best song that Dave Morey has a writing credit on? And it's quite possible. I mean, a lot of people have a high regard for Still Life, don't they? I think I prefer this. Can't think of anything else off the top of my head that's better than this. But yeah, I'd have to maybe do a deeper dive. And it might also be the best song they've never played live then. Maybe it was hard to do live because of that double vocal. But I don't think it matters. I think we could live with it without a double vocal. Now, I haven't really looked at the lyrics, but a lot of them annoy me for different reasons. Generally, they're good. But I get distracted by all the other song titles by other artists that are in the lyrics. Now, I've had plenty of these before. You know, The Earth Dies Screaming by UB40, that famous song that you all know about. We had Nowhere to Run, didn't we? Nowhere to Run, Nowhere to Hide, earlier in this series. Now, you know, they're just two examples. But in here, there's so many songs in just this one song. The Long and Winding Road. We've got Live Forever by Oasis. We've got New Generation by Suede. Sometimes by Erasure. Fighter by Christina Aguilera's. And you might think, oh, he's being silly now. There's loads of individual words that you could say is a song title. A bit like Wrong.
Warning, warning, Mr. Med Alert! Warning, warning, Mr. Med Alert!
Yeah, that's right. It's a song by Depeche Mode, but also a Mr. Man. And I'm quite annoyed about this song because it's got Thin in the title, yet there was a Mr. Skinner. But if you are wanting to update your Mr. Men spreadsheet, we do have Happy mentioned in this song. So there you go. Wrong and Happy.
So the song's basically about a person's will to choose how they live, you know, good or bad, that thin line, and about how actions might affect you in the future. Now, when the song ends, you might have to turn it up at the end because there's a bit of studio chat, and Nico says, "Ah, I missed it." But he also says a swear word in it, which I won't repeat. There's sort of a hysterical happiness about this. So it doesn't sound like he missed a beat or something like that. Maybe he did. Maybe he missed some sort of gong at the end of the song. But maybe he means he missed the feeling of playing with Bruce and Adrian, that band again. Which, you know, you might remember he wasn't very happy. Well, he didn't seem to be, based on his snare and drumming on the last album, Virtual 11. So maybe he missed that. Ron, give Trevor a ring.
Hi, Wayne.
Hi, Trevor, how you doing?
I'm not good.
Oh, you're not well?
Well, yeah, I feel all right. Just not happy.
What's the matter?
I heard last week from Paul Di'Anno that there aren't any song episodes in the future.
What, Paul Di'Anno visited you?
No, I listened to the podcast. Funny way to find out. You could have told me.
Oh, right, yeah. He didn't say that, though, did he?
He did.
No, he said that he couldn't find Journeyman when he was expecting it.
Yeah, and then you said you got no plans to do any more.
Okay.
Why wasn't I consulted?
What?
You know, strategic plan, all that stuff.
Well, it's my podcast, isn't it? You having a nice Mother's Day?
Stop changing the subject.
Well, we do need to talk about Iron Maiden. And I was thinking about things people might love or hate, or both.
Okay.
Do you like Marmite?
No.
Do you like KFC?
No.
Do you like me?
No.
What about the song?
No. Yeah, I like it.
Oh, well, at least we won't hear that again.
Yes, we will.
Well, when?
What, album review show? Although, maybe we're not doing one. Maybe you haven't told me that either.
Well, I had one comment on Twitter about carrying on without me. Just you and Pterodactyl Mark, which is ridiculous.
Why is it?
Well, one person doing research and giving facts with a funny voice and the other one doing poetry.
Oh, that's what it's always been.
Hey?
Well, it's good album closer anyway. One of the best.
Hang on, are you saying I've got a funny voice?
Maybe only Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner's better.
What, this is their second best song?
No, album closer.
Oh, right. Well, Hell on Earth might have something to say about that.
The songs can't speak. We've had this before. I mean, up to this point anyway.
Okay, so have you got a poem?
A final poem?
Maybe.
How can you... Okay. Love is a stranger. Love is a battlefield. Love is all around. And so is hate. Cold sausage on my plate. Punctured. No good. Ketchup for blood. It was obvious from the start. Love will tear us apart.
Okay, so you've used some famous song titles and talked about a sausage.
Yeah.
So is the sausage a metaphor? The disappointment? The pain of love? The reality?
No, it's a sausage.
Okay, well, it's a shame you're in one of those moods.
Well, just point out, if anyone wants an episode about Wildest Dreams, the next song, then they've already done one. With Fergal on Taylor Made.
You can't plug that. That was about the Taylor Swift song.
And Iron Maiden's interesting comparisons.
Well, that's enough of that. So, yeah, we're going to do the album review show. So, if you get a top three, no more poems. But, yeah, get your top three done.
Can I do some new special sound effects?
Maybe.
Maybe I'll do the old ones.
Well,
seeing as we don't tell each other, just spring things on them.
All right.
Can I have my pencil back?
Your pencil?
Yeah.
What pencil?
The one I lent you.
When?
6 years ago.
What, you can't bring this up on a podcast. What's this about? You think I'm going to give you things back? It's not like a breakup, is it?
Feels like it.
All right, well, I'll find the pencil.
But you haven't even used it.
All right. This isn't about Iron Maiden, is it? Let's talk about this afterwards.
Okay. Thanks, Wayne. Bye.
Oh, sometimes I find Trevor impossible.
Warning, warning, Mr. Minalert! Warning, warning,
oh, come on, that,
Mr. Minalert!
That doesn't get played, does it? That's just for lyrics. Yeah, anyway, I find him impossible to work with sometimes. Well, a lot of the time over the last 4 years. And yeah, as Dennis Stratton mentioned, it was 4 years since he got in touch. So yeah, a lot's happened, hasn't it? Yeah, approaching the end of another album. And yeah, Ballad of Belf got in touch, said that it bookends the album well, this song. And that's a sort of common theme I've heard about this album. And yeah, it starts off well and it ends well. Maybe the middle, not quite so good. But I'll probably look at the structure of the album on the album review show. Now, that might not happen next week. There might be a bit of a gap because these episodes are getting closer and closer to the deadline. It's getting difficult to put them together. So, yeah, I'll take a bit of time, talk to Trevor, return his pencil, and maybe put together a nice album review show special. Maybe get Pterodactyl Mark to get a mission as well. That seems popular. So we'll see what happens. So, yeah, thanks very much for your constant support and for listening and your messages. Yeah, I enjoy reading them. So we'll leave the album. And, yeah, here's a bit from The Thin Line Between Love and Hate. So, yeah, thanks again. Bye-bye.